Lord, for your word, and I ask that you'd bless it as we hear it, challenge us, help us to think through what we are giving our lives for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. So the gospel story this morning tells us something about the calling of the first disciples, the first learners, the first followers of Jesus. And last week we looked at something similar in the Gospel of John when John was introducing people to Jesus, and some of the exact same disciples that John mentions are now here in Matthew, but in a slightly different context. And there are a couple differences when Matthew talks about calling of his disciples. One is that Jesus gives these guys, these fishermen, a direct command, right? Follow me. And the other thing that we see that's slightly different in Matthew is that Matthew records their response and the cost of what it meant to follow Jesus. The fishermen leave their nets, their boats. They leave their livelihood. And in the case of James and John, they actually leave their father, their family, in the boat. It's a huge sacrifice that these disciples are making to follow Jesus. And the only thing that can explain what they are doing, in other words, the sacrifice they're making, is that Jesus represents to them a vision that is worth for them giving up everything to be part of. So we have to assume that the fishermen, Peter, James, John, they had known something about Jesus before Jesus called them on the side of the Sea of Galilee. I mean, it looks really weird if Jesus just comes up to these guys he doesn't know and they don't know him. You know, follow me. And for what reason would they do that? There must be some context in which they know something about Jesus. Most of these guys apparently were part of John's ministry in some way. They were there at least, maybe to be baptized, to hear John proclaim that Jesus was the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So they already knew something about the vision that Jesus represents. They believe in some way that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah that has finally come. They know something about the vision of the Messiah, that the Messiah is expected to come to save his people, that the Messiah will somehow come to bring a new era of righteousness and goodness to the land. That's sort of the passage from Isaiah 9 that Vanessa read. The Messiah will somehow break the powers of evil and darkness. They know this from the scriptures. This is the expectation of the Messiah. And at the beginning part, of course, which is quoting Isaiah, that the Messiah, the expectation of the Messiah is that when the Messiah comes, there will be light. The light of God will come in to the world through his coming. And so now Jesus tells them, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. In other words, they know something about the vision of Jesus, and now Jesus is calling them to participate in that vision, in what he's about to do. People will follow a vision if it's important enough to give their lives to. Now, this is something that we see even in popular culture. Our family over December went, when all my girls were up here, went to see the last, supposedly, Star Wars movie over Christmas. And I thought it was okay. It was just like every other Star Wars movie. But one of the reasons why the series of movies, there's been several, have become so popular is because they're all about following a particular vision that's close to the hearts of most human beings. I can still remember the first Star Wars movie that I went to, the very first one, that when it came out in 1977. I was a senior in high school that year, and because that song from Star Wars was so popular, I was in marching band, and we played that for almost every halftime show that year. And we played it in the marching band competition, where we won the entire competition in all high schools in the city of Los Angeles. It was an epic film, Star Wars was, one that inspired a whole genre of similar movies. where someone gets a vision for conquering evil. And in their journey of following their vision, they find others who are willing to follow along with them in that vision. Now, in the first movie and throughout many of the other movies, the main character who develops a vision for this is Luke Skywalker. And through transformation, Luke develops this vision for defeating the dark forces of the universe under the control, practically, of Darth Vader. And in his journey, he becomes others become attracted to this vision. Others come along to help Luke fight the enemy forces of the universe and make the universe a better place. It was a vision worth following. And it's popular amongst all of people because, in a deep sense, we sense that this is the vision of all humanity. There's something wrong with the world. We just don't know how to fix it. But Jesus does. So from the gospel text in Matthew here, what can we say about the vision that Jesus has? What was he calling his disciples to commit themselves to? So let's look at a small part of that passage. After calling some of his disciples, Matthew writes, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. And the news about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee and the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, the region across the Jordan followed him. He's got a vision, and people are beginning to be attracted to the vision of Jesus. As the Messiah, the one who was expected throughout Jewish history, throughout biblical history in the Old Testament, was expected to set things right and bring people back to God. The vision of Jesus is to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. And his proclamation of this good news of God's breaking forth into the lives of his people, it wasn't just in words and teaching. It was also in a demonstration of power, as you can see. And one of the things that happens here is Jesus is bringing freedom and release for people of all manner of things. This is what it means to bring in the kingdom. As I've defined it for you many times in many sermons, let me do it one more time. The kingdom of God, or the kingdom, Matthew uses the kingdom of heaven. Mark and Luke use the phrase kingdom of God, but same thing. The kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is where God's rule and where God's reign are expressed and experienced. And where God's kingdom of love is found, there is forgiveness of sin and release from the bondage to sin and evil and everything connected to those things. Okay? It's an amazing vision, one worth giving our lives to. It's really the thing that we are all humans, I think, looking for, although whether we realize it or not. Jesus' vision was the only thing, is the only thing, that brings us to the point of what we are created for the freedom that comes in a relationship with God through Christ. And that vision will be brought to its completion, of course, we know, on the cross, where the long-awaited Messiah will die for the sins of the world. If you want to follow a vision that conquers sin, death, the devil, and evil in the universe, this is it. You don't need Star Wars. And it's all worth giving our lives for. Or rather, giving up our lives for. You see, when Jesus called his disciples to follow him, and when he calls us to follow him in his vision, he also calls us to give up the vision that we're following. In the case of the fishermen, it was leaving a fulfilling career in the fishing industry. I don't know how fulfilling that fishing industry was, but I understand from in the time of Jesus that fishermen were probably better off economically than most working class people of the time. Everybody was working class at the time, except for the religious hierarchy or the soldiers. At least there was some personal security. They had some connection to family and some connection to community, and that's what they knew. They probably had some sense of control and mastery over fishing. But to follow Jesus, they had to give it up. They had to die to all that. All of them left their boats and followed Jesus. In the call to become disciples of Jesus, there's always some kind of death experience. Something has to die. Something has to be let go so that space is created within us for the kingdom of God, for the rule of God. Because if the kingdom of God is not growing and gaining ground within us, you know, Jesus says the kingdom of God is within you. If the kingdom is not gaining ground within us, if the lordship of Christ is not being expressed more and more in us, then it won't matter much for us to tell anybody about it. If we aren't experiencing the freedom and release that from the things that bind us, then we won't be able to demonstrate to others what Jesus came to do. If you follow the Luke Skywalker story in the first Star Wars movie, one of the defining moments in that movie in his life was when he came home. He'd been out in the desert talking to Obi-Wan Kenobi and learning about the Force and all that. But the defining moment came and he found that his family, his basically adopted family, was killed. Basically that scene here. In that moment, he died to all that he called home. And it moved him to commit himself to a new vision. It released him to commit himself to a new vision, to defeat the evil empire, and then find a new family in the journey. And if you see all the Star Wars films, you'll notice that the same kind of death experience moves the hero of the story, and they move through in the Star Wars series different kinds of heroes, both men and women. But in all of them, they experience some kind of death experience that moves them to a new level of understanding and commitment to the vision of defeating evil in the universe. Same is true with the followers of Jesus, especially those who want to have their lives make a difference in the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God. Following the Lord in that way makes a difference in the lives of others. Those who want to make a difference will often pass through a time of crisis, a time that feels like a death experience. I think St. John of the Cross in the Middle Ages called that experience the dark night of the soul. Over the years, I've talked with men and women who have accomplished great things for the Lord. And their stories always include a time when they have had to pass through a time of being broken and humbled to the core. I remember our former bishop, John Brodowski, of the North American Lutheran Church, telling us I've heard this story many times. It was a foundational story in his life. When he was much younger and he had a young family, his young son died in a car accident. And it was something that he shares just brought him to the very end of himself. It almost crippled him. And yet he says that God used that death experience to open a new chapter in his life of following Jesus. And he really became, for our organization, this great leader of discipleship for us. Like an alcoholic who needs to hit rock bottom before they experience recovery, we need to die to something. We may need to die to our self-sufficiency or control. I think this is one of the things that the disciple fishermen had to give up. The sense of control over fishing, their fishing industry, to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus, to be fishers of men, as Jesus calls them, to be fishers of men or people. Something they had no clue about. They knew about fishing for fish. They had no clue. And so it meant giving up their self-sufficiency and control over the sense of mastery, and to jump into something that they had no clue about. They were out of control about it, and therefore they had to trust the Lord in. Same is true with us. looking back at my own life, I can say that every period of significant spiritual growth, or every period where my ministry has advanced in some significant way, has come about as a result of some death experience in my life. I won't bore you with all, and there's so many of them, because the Lord takes a lot, has to work harder with me. But won't bore you with them, but that's been true. We have to die to something before the Lord will birth something new in our lives. As I said in this sermon, people will follow a vision if it's a vision important enough to give our lives to, or important enough to die for. So do you hear the voice of the Lord calling you to be a part of his great vision to redeem and transform this evil empire that we live in? The Star Wars series is true in the sense that there's an evil empire and that God calls people to do something about it. The problem with the Star Wars thing, of course, is they don't really understand the nature of that evil, nor did they have any power to transform it, in spite of what the Force thinks. It's an interesting story. It's a true story in the sense that it's an archetype that humans have had for all of their history. But it's only in Jesus, in his vision, that can actually do something. All of us in Christ are called into the vision that he's calling us into. All of us have a particular destiny within that vision to be a part of. And if you follow that vision, it's likely that you'll find others who will walk with you to help you along that vision, along that journey. You will have to die to something, mostly to yourself. That's what it means to carry your cross, right? Do you hear the Lord calling you this morning? Do you hear the Lord calling you to die to something, to follow something else? Only you can know, and only you, with the help of the Lord, can obey Jesus calling in your life. We'll see what happens. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.